Town Council for Tuesday, March 3rd, 2020. Sorry for the delay, but we were doing the town's business. Our agenda has been published. Item number one is approval of the minutes from the February 3rd meeting of this committee.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes are approved. Item number two is public comments. If you have a public comment, please come forward. Name, address, and 2 minutes, please. Can somebody be a timer? It's not, I can't, I'm not that ambidextrous. All right, thank you.
I'm Lewis Horton. I live at 138 Live Oak Drive. My wife and I built there and moved in Thanksgiving of 87, so we've been neighbors of Molly Fair's for that period of time. And I say neighbors in a true sense. I've never been in her home, so I think I speak with some objectivity about her situation. I want to address two things. First of all, in reference to the proposed dock that she wishes to build, I've been to the site. I have read all the comments. The view is not going to be marginally, very, very, very marginally, if any, obstructed by what she proposes to build there under her new plan with no rails. I would also say that all the neighbors in the immediate neighborhood support her position to rebuild the dock that was torn down in Hugo. And under the 92 Coastal Council plan, it would seem to me that there is her right to do that is grandfathered. Circumstances in everybody's life change, economic, personal, your kids grow up, the impetus to build a dock back at the time the plan was adopted was different than it is now because of all those kind of intervening circumstances. But I would submit that if she had built back when the plan was adopted, it would be standing there today. she is trying to pass on the legacy she enjoyed with her family and her children there to her grandchildren. In our own home, my wife, Frances, has a little needlepoint that says, dearer than our children are the children of our children. And being a grandparent, I can support that position. So I would submit to you the minor variance that she needs, about the size of a throw rug, to construct her dock in accordance with the plan should be granted, and that if you do that, I think you will have done justice and shown mercy and given the kind of consideration you would like to have received were you in her shoes. Thank you.
Thank you, Lewis. Next, name, address, and 2 minutes, please.
My name's Mary Shade. I'm one of Ms. Fair's attorneys, the owner of 101 Mary Street, and I'm at Nixon Pruitt, 205 King Street, Charleston. We're here because we have a permit pending at OCRM. OCRM instructed us to come here first and get clarity on the ability to utilize the obtain an encroachment on the Hibben Street right-of-way. There are a bunch of things that OCRM is going to look at that really don't need to trouble you. That is, in any impact on navigation, any impact on neighbors and neighbors' access to water, the size of the dock, and whether or not 101 Mary Street will qualify for a dock. Those are all considerations that the state agency charged with that is going to consider. We were here before you several weeks ago, and I sensed from that meeting that your biggest concern was the precedent of giving away public property. I've got a bunch of photographs. I'd love to show them to you, and maybe if you have questions, I can. But for purposes of utilizing my 2 minutes, let me say that a dock by its fundamental nature always encroaches on public property. You're not establishing any precedent. Public trust tide lands, which all docks cross, are public property held in trust by the state for use of the citizens of the state. And it is routine to allow an encroachment of public trust tide lands so that a private property owner can reach navigable water. There are at least 4 docks immediately west of Ms. Fair. Beach Street right-of-way touches Hibbins Street right-of-way. Four docks already existing that cross the Beach Street right-of-way. So not only do you have the precedent of docks by their fundamental nature impact public property, and you have to get a license to do that, you've got four docks already crossing over a platted right-of-way in the same manner that we're proposing to utilize the Hibbins Street right-of-way. Not only that, your ordinance does not prohibit what we're asking and would allow what we're asking. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Appreciate it. Next, name, address, 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Hamlin O'Kelly, 652 Coleman Boulevard. I, too, am one of Mrs. Fair's attorneys. And echoing what Ms. Shade said, I think it's important that you all remember some of the history of this matter. We first went to the Old Village Historic District Commission, then we came to transportation, back to Old Village, now back to you all, when we were told what was needed was an encroachment permit. And it's important to note, members of the committee, that the folks at the Old Village Historic District Commission, when they punted the matter back to you, one of the comments that was made was about the size of the encroachment. One of the commissioners there noted that the encroachment would be no bigger than a child making a snow angel. Our original plan had the dock further out in the Pitt Street right-of-way. Now it is barely touching the Pitt Street right-of-way. It is a small, small area. And of concern to me and to the neighbors, all of the immediate neighbors, as Mr. Horton said, are in support of Ms. Fair's application. Those most affected by this application and by the encroachment are in favor of it. There is no, really, as Ms. Shade said, no precedential value to what she's doing because this is a unique property. OCRM, when they approved the Master Dock Corridor Plan in 1992, by approval of that plan, determined that Ms. Fair's property was indeed waterfront. But because of the old layout of the village streets, we must encroach. Again, as Ms. Shade said, there's no right to a view in South Carolina. There's no precedential value being set here. And each of your applications for an encroachment must be looked at on its own merits. And we appreciate your doing so. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
My name is Helen Cook. I live at 113 Bennett Street, and I've lived there for about 30 years. We're about a block off the water, so the access that we have to Waterview is at that end of Hibbins Street. And I'm stating I have no objection to the dock request that Molly has made. It doesn't really affect your view if you stood up at the end of Hibbins Street. It's a bluff, and so the dock is actually below your eye level. You can still see straight out. The other side of that is I understand the issues of the encroachment and the public trust of public property, but having a neighbor move into the neighborhood who understands the history of our neighborhood, the lifestyle and the quality of life we have back there, to me is a fair trade-off. It outweighs the positive outweighs the negative of the small piece of property. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, please.
I am Molly Fair, also known as Mary Fair, formerly of 101 Mary Street. The property has now passed into the ownership of my son, which is, I'm the one making this petition, and I've moved to Bishop Gadsden. But I filed this permit back in February when I was still living there, February a year ago. So we've spent a long time with this. But what I mostly wanted to say is that the motivation here is generational. This property has been in my family for three, this is going into the third generation. So it's a total of 50 years. And we had a wonderful experience in the 90s working as a neighborhood to create that corridor plan. Six neighbors came together. And to me, it was a very ideal situation because everybody gave up something for everybody to be able to access the water. It has a long history of neighborhood support, and those neighbors are all with me on this. Five of them have rebuilt. One of them is rebuilding right now. And then there's me. I think everybody else has made the case, but I mostly wanted to just tell you who I am and show you that I'm here. Thank you.
Next. Yes, sir. Name, address, 2 minutes, please.
Christopher Coleman, 118 Pitt Street. In 2 minutes, I can't possibly give you the flavor of over 40 pages of comments that I filed with you, or even really even go through the package I have in front of you. The first thing I want to tell you is the Town Historical Commission, and that's the first item, has weighed in against this proposal because of its adverse impact on public resources. HDPC in November voted 3-0 to turn it down. It came back and they refused to take any further action. So you know that at the town level, there is concern about this project. The applicant's been trying to persuade you that you should grant this permit because they have rights on the dock plan. There is no dock master plan for this. I know what they look like. I'm an environmental lawyer. This is not a dock master plan. There is no active permit for them to build. The most important thing you need to know about this, and the second map you have shows the corridors of this. The town corridor is what I've shown you in yellow. Generally, you get a lane out into the water. 101 Mary Street doesn't have a lane out in the water. It has to cross somebody else's land. You have the right to build out in the water, not 101 Mary Street. And so what happens is that when they come to take that little snow angel piece of land, what they really want is the right to build out in that corridor. And that right is hugely valuable. It's just hugely valuable. You have no obligation, none, to give them an encroachment permit here. This is town land. You can say no. And what they're doing is they're building a physical structure across the town land that prevents the public from accessing it. Do I have to crawl under it or crawl over the top of it? It blocks it. It takes it over. Town code says you cannot grant an interest in town land without a resolution by the town council and an ordinance passed. This is a taking of land. It shouldn't happen. What this really does is mortgage the future of this town. It says that once that dock is there, the remaining dock corridor now belongs to 101 Ferry Street. If you as the town wanted to leave it alone, now you can't. If you as the town wanted to build a recreational facility there, now you can't. It's there. It's gone. It's taken it over.
I need you to conclude, if you will, to be
sure,
fair to everyone.
Sure, I'll be glad to do that. So it really is a bad precedent because other people can use this same tactic of an encroachment permit to take a little strip of land and build more docks at the other ends of these streets. So
thank you, sir.
I thank you for your interest.
Thank you, and I appreciate everybody working with us on the two-minute rule. It works best for everybody. Thank you very much. Anyone else for public comments, item two on the agenda? If not, we will move to, we'll move to item three. You could do that, technically, speak as a, so we are at item three, employee of the month.
Mayor, thank you very much. I'm going to ask, where is Vincent? Is he, if you come up here, Vincent, for just a second, and he's cringing because he hates this stuff, and I make him do it, but I think it's important that we all recognize what a dedicated town employee that we have in Vincent. So I'm just going to tell you a quick story to make it as painless as possible for you. January 21, temperature's about 37 degrees at 7:30, and up at Lexington, we have a car crash, and it takes out the controller. And you can see what's left of the control. Actually, we don't have the pictures. I don't know why they're not in there. But anyway, so it pancakes the controller. It's flattened, just a mess of wires at the bottom of the base of the controller. Any other time, we just say, bag it. We'll have to deal with this in the morning. Well, Vincent's not that kind of guy. He goes and gets another controller, brings it back to the site. And I don't know how he does it because this is just a spaghetti of wires. And he finds all the right wires to put in all the right places and works 10 hours in 32-degree weather with 10 to 15-mile-an-hour wind chill and gets it back on before rush hour. So it's just a testament to the kind of man he is. He's extremely dedicated to the town, his family, his church. It's who he is. And for that reason, he's been nominated for and approved for Employee of the Month, and we just very appreciative of all your efforts, Spencer. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Let me act like I have some money here for you.
Here you go.
You don't want to make
it like
that.
Can you smile, Vince?
You got
got something coming. Thank you.
Thank you. That's what makes our town great and special. It's dedicated staff. Thank you very much. Item number four is budget review for fiscal year 2021 for the Transportation Department operating expenditures and capital maintenance expenditures.
Thank you, Mayor. Members of the committee, good afternoon.
Yes.
I'll go ahead and review the highlights with you. Brad's certainly here to help out. But overall, in the, well, if you go to the transportation tab in your budget, if you have it with you.
870.
Yes, sir.
All right.
And we are proposing a slight decrease in the budget for next year. We have some things going on salary-wise, some retirements and some other things that help contribute to that decrease. By the way, I mentioned it at the last PJL because two of our smallest budgets were there. And the next smallest would be transportation, which is kind of unique because we're one of the only municipalities around that actually builds roads. Usually that's a county function or a state function. And so we do a lot with not a lot of resources. So we're very proud of the transportation department. The salary side includes things I've mentioned at prior committees, pay for performance, 2% class and comp, the mandated retirement contributions in there. There are no new positions being requested, and really no notable new expenses. If anything, one expense that's been reduced is the amount of money we had in contractual from our long-range transportation plan. We had $60,000 in for that. We were doing that in conjunction, as you know, with our comprehensive plan, and that has been reduced in this year's budget. All of the CIP and capital items you know of very well, from Billy Swales funding to Stockdale, US 17, all the projects you know of because you see them in your CIP. And we do have one replacement vehicle, a small SUV that's consistent with our asset replacement plan. And unless you have any questions, happy to answer any questions that you have. And when you're ready, we would appreciate a recommendation to the Budget Committee.
Quick question, I'll lead off. How many staff members do we have in transportation now?
We have 10 and a liaison position that's contract.
Council?
I'd like to make a motion that we forward this budget request as presented to Council for approval in the Budget Committee, the budget meeting.
Second.
We have a motion to approve, and we have a second. We are in discussion now. I'll leave it up to council to ask any questions they may have.
Are we saying we're not passing it?
No, we are.
Oh, we are. Okay.
That's the motion.
Oh, no. No questions.
Obviously, in this department, the biggest expenses is salaries. Almost all of it is salaries or salary related things, whether it's the state required mandate, Social Security match, anything like that. So the question that would be asked, especially like when you look down at traffic light maintenance, $138,930, is that an adequate figure? Because I think we all know, and those of you that just came through the vetting process with the voters, is traffic management and traffic flow is one of the biggest requests that we have. So I'm not questioning that figure. I'm just asking, from your standpoint, do you have enough to work with? Is that an adequate figure for traffic light maintenance? And other than building roads, which we all know what a behemoth that is, do we have enough resources dedicated to this?
I believe so, sir. The 138 figure was 2019 budget, and we actually did have an increase the previous year.
I read off the wrong column.
No, that's all right, but I think it's a good point. Is we realize the very thing you're saying is we have 64 signals now. When I got here, we had 41. So a lot of effort has to go into maintaining those signals, and that 185 number is adequate. We get about 65% of that reimbursed through the state, so that's not a bad reimbursement rate. So yes, sir, I'm comfortable with that number.
Does where the upgrades that we just read about, that they did a story on the paper about, we were changing out the adapters and all that stuff, Is that this budget, or was that last year's budget, or a combination?
It's actually a separate, it's in our capital maintenance program budget, so we have upgrades to detection. There was previously in the CIP, and we moved it to CMP. Previous year, we did have that, sir. Yes, some of the radar upgrades, but we've actually moved that, since it's kind of an ongoing expense that we have, to the CMP, and that's where you'll find that value.
All right.
So it doesn't come out of this operating budget.
Got it. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions?
No, sir. I just add that, in fact, that newspaper article that you're talking about shows that we're on target with personnel and equipment, because without what they did, it was a problem. Once they got finished, and quickly got finished, made all the difference in the world. So I think that answers your question as much as anything.
Thank you. Is that upgrade fully functioning now?
Yes, for 17. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have a communication issue here and there every once in a while, but once Mr. Chapman said, once it came back online, it went back to coordination. So
the hardware is installed.
Yes, sir. And we're doing some things on Coleman at this point in time. It's not in the coordination yet, but we're working on that also. So, yes, sir, 17 is back up and running.
Okay. And I've been out and about. I've been out of state a little bit, but if we can get that information out, people might understand and it might be being pushed out. Right. Hey, we're doing this, and it might get worse before it gets better. It's kind of like repaving a road, right?
Yes, sir. That's a good point. We didn't put anything out before we did that, but I think we would next time. Yes, sir. Okay. Good point.
Sounds good. Any other questions before we call the question on the? Let me just ask the motion. How many different votes do we need for council? I mean, for staff on this. I mean, we've got different pages. This is just on the transportation operating budget. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. And capital and maintenance.
Okay.
That's found here. It's just a recommendation to to the budget committee.
Okay. So that's your motion. Yeah. Okay. Just want to be clear on that. Are we prepared to vote? Yes, all in favor of the motion to approve, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes. Thank you very much. All right. So that concludes 4A and B, I presume?
Yes.
Yes.
Sir.
This moves us to item 5. Hang on just a second. Let me make a note. This is item 5, review and possible action with regard to encroachment permit application for 101 Mary Street. And I think the public comments were pretty in-depth as well. We are way behind on schedule, and we have an important meeting at 1 o'clock as well that Mr. DeMore and I have to attend. So if we can get to the meat of the matter and let us know what's required of this committee, please.
What's required is we were seeking really an acknowledgement from the committee that it would be acceptable for the town to issue an encroachment permit that comes out of our department. For this encroachment, and you can see where the encroachment is as far as the little inset down there. You can see the Hibben Street right away, and it probably is 25 to 30 square feet of, it's not marshland, it's right before the critical area, but as far as where the right away is. So, I mean, it's an unimproved right away. It's 90 feet from the end of the road, and we just wanted to make sure, based upon some things in the past about improving these dead-end streets, that we were on the right track as far as the committee says.
You said something that caught my attention. Let me ask a question. Without an affirmative vote of council, and this would be a recommendation to council, or does this stop here?
Typically, we handle these things. Well, this is a dedication, essentially. I'm not sure that's a proper legal term, of land, which would have to be approved by council.
By full council.
Yes.
So this would be a recommendation. This would not be a final approval. Now, is the default setting that you cannot issue an encroachment permit without an affirmative vote? I'm just saying, in case there were no motion or there were no second, it doesn't mean that you do or do not issue a permit?
That's correct, but even in my position, I think I'd realize that this is a kind of a sensitive issue. I would not I don't plan on proceeding in any direction without the direction of council.
So either way, what we're getting at, and I'll defer to legal, is either a motion to deny or a motion to approve, but it's not a default setting that would, for lack of a motion to approve, it's...
Just to clarify, we're not asking council to deny or approve a permit request. We're talking about the underlying land, and right. I think the issue is that state statute says, look, town-owned land or any government-owned land, you have to have an approval by a council in order to utilize that land. So the way I would say is that council approval would be a precursor to Brad and his group's decision on whether to grant the permit or not grant the permit.
Okay.
I would suggest that without that town council approval to utilize that land, staff would be in a position where it would be very difficult to approve a permit.
Okay. So this committee, there can be a motion to approve or there can be a motion to deny, either way.
Sir, it would be just to recommend to full council because full council would have to...
And either way, it's going to full council next Tuesday or...
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, it would. And if I may, sir, I have a question.
Absolutely.
For the attorney. Mr. Pagliarini, typically the way we run things through committee, if this committee believed it wasn't in the town's interest, we typically don't run things then up to council. It would, right. It would die there.
Because this is a staff request, yes.
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 So you, okay.
I would agree with that.
Right, so this is a staff request, not, and I just want to be clear, these are serious matters with a lot. This is not a request from a citizen directly to council. This is a request from staff on how to handle a request from a citizen for an encroachment permit. We don't approve or disapprove docks. That's not our
function. Yes, sir. Council's function is not to approve or disapprove an encroachment permit. It is simply to advise, and if necessary, or if the votes are there, to consent to utilization of town property for that purpose.
So if we were like the Supreme Court or something, and not to be overarching with that, but if there was no motion that either was seconded or carried by this committee, then basically staff would not have the authority to grant that encroachment permit?
I believe that would be staff's position, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. That's how we would interpret it.
You believe or that you would interpret that you do not have permission
That's right.
to give an encroachment on town-owned land?
Yes.
Okay.
And
so there has to be a vote in the affirmative of this committee for staff to even have the ability to do that?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Mayor.
Is everybody clear on that? Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to make a motion.
Okay.
And, of course, we have to discuss, and I'd like to share my thoughts after we're in discussion if this is seconded. I make a motion that we... move to send a recommendation to council that we approve this use of town land as an encroachment of the dock for the sake of the permit.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Let me make sure I get this motion right. You move to recommend approval for use of town land for the purpose
of this encroachment, for the purpose of being allowed to encroach on town land for this permit. So it's only on the land. That
so
I'm
we would be, we're,
right.
it's a motion to approve an encroachment permit.
We're not supposed to, I thought we said we have to approve the use of the land. Right. I'm saying use of the land.
An
easement for this, yes,
okay.
that could be used for the purpose
okay.
of this.
So to approve the use of town land for the purpose. Please
yes.
finish.
Okay. for the purpose of an encroachment permit. Well, no, because I'm not supposed to put that in there. I make a motion that we approve, that we make a recommendation to council to approve the easement of this portion of town land for the purpose of this encroachment permit application.
Got it. We have a motion.
Clear as pluff mud.
We have a motion and we have a second. So we are in discussion. Were you asking to be recognized?
Thank you.
And we have a second. I don't want to speak. Yeah.
Since I made the motion, thank you. My purpose in making this motion was because there's several quick things. I know we're long on everything, but one is I have listened and read and heard from the applicant related to the permit, which is not what we're deciding on today, but this is a situation where had they been in a position to rebuild after Hugo took these docks down, as a lot of the neighbors that also encroach on the town land with their docks, had they been able to do so at the time, this would be a moot point. It would already have been done. They simply weren't in a position for various reasons to do it at that time. Now, that said, you could say, well, things changed, but they didn't really change. All the neighbors who would be affected by this that are within the view are not in, do not have a problem with this. From what I'm hearing, I believe this is one of these where a technicality is making this very difficult to do, but we're talking about land that's under the water that we're probably not going to use for something. Nobody's presented anything that's a real reason why we should say no. It's one of these where I'd feel like we were saying no just because we can rather than because it's the most practical, best policy. So I believe from what I can see that in, and especially since it doesn't set a precedent, that we that this is not something that will hurt the town or hurt the purpose of this easement, and that's why I wanted to make a motion in the affirmative.
Next. Well, yes, sir. Mr. Chairman.
I just want to second what Ms. Lanning said. First of all, we already have docks out there that are encroaching. We're not doing anything different than has already occurred. There's no visual impact, as I see it, number two. And finally, as was stated, this could have been put back without any issue before or after Hurricane Hugo. And as a result, it's we do encroachments in a lot of cases. In this particular case, I think it's the right thing to do.
And
yes, you have the floor.
And this is not going to keep residents from accessing water.
There's no access there.
Since we're in discussion and everyone has spoken, I just want to mention a couple of things. One is a couple of years ago, we were asked by a private property owner about us acquiescing to a dock on Shem Creek from the Bayview side because we own, I believe we own the marsh when we published the, when we purchased the land for the Shem Creek Park phase one. Yeah, the one that we all know is the boardwalk park. And so, and there's a creek there, and then there's our marsh, and then there's the deep water. And the person asked, could they have access across that? And the answer was no, that we are not in the business of giving away public property or public rights away for either private benefit or private use or private value. And there really wasn't even any discussion about that. The second issue I have with this is that these commissions, be they the Historical Commission or the what we all know as the Old Village Historic Commission or the OVHD, if I got this right, voted three to, we sent it to them at first and they voted 3-0 to deny.
That's my recollection of the first vote.
Just want to make sure I'm correct. One is the Historical Commission, the other is the actual OVHD, which has to deal with porches and encroachments on sidewalks and all those things they deal with. And unless I'm mistaken, I believe the Historical Commission itself or members of the Historical Commission have asked us not to do this as well. And the third issue that I have is we, with a growing town and 90,000 people, I think to send the message that council is giving away the use of public property or the right of public property for a private dock that's waterfront is not a unifying message to our citizens because I haven't seen us do this. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know where we've given use of public property for private citizens or development. If we have, let me know. I can't remember voting for that yet. And so to do that for residents on one side of town you can bet that either residents or developers are going to do it on another side of town, and we already know someone wants to do it right near our water, our Shem Creek Boardwalk Park. So if I were doing this in a vacuum, I would certainly say yes. I get it, and I would love to say yes. But given these other things and the position I feel that I'm in as the mayor of this town, I cannot support this. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, a couple things. So first of all, based on what we've just heard from Mayor Haney, if we voted against this, the folks that have a dock now that's existing, which we know docks go down often during big storms, are we saying that they would then have to come back to us for a new encroachment permit? Because they have docks now that encroach.
I think this one's a little unique in that there's an old Beach Street right-of-way that sits, used to be formerly platted in front. I think that's what's being referenced as an old right-of-way. Well, I believe that was abandoned many years ago, so I don't know that that's an issue. It's just that this is an existing right-of-way that is owned by the town, and it's just merely the regulatory ability of the town, and really it's a requirement. Any encroachment's got to be permitted. So it just happens to be in a dead end, you know, this end of the road right-of-way.
Well, let me just clarify again. So we have, at least visually, we have at least two other docks that go across the same right-of-way.
No, ma'am.
What are those two docks then?
I do not, well, see, the right-of-way ends essentially near the marsh, so the right-of-way doesn't extend. So you can see the Hibben Street right-of-way there. It essentially ends at the property pens. So anything out in the marsh, that's really not in the right-of-way. But this is, you know, by the little inset, you can see it's barely into the right-of-way at the very end of our right-of-way.
So that tiny little yellow spot, that's the one that's supposed to be the size of a child's snow angel, that little tiny spot,
yes,
that's all
we're
talking
understanding.
About.
It's about 25 square feet.
If that, I mean, a child's snow angel would be a little smaller than 25 square feet. But anyway, that tiny little spot. So here's what I say about this. This is one of those where I'm really worried that technicality gets in the way of common sense. I'm sorry. It's just completely, there's a huge difference between Shem Creek, where we have a lot of commerce and a lot of activity and a lot of things going on, and a tiny little spot that literally is a sliver if we look on that picture, and something that if they had simply been in a financial position or whatever was going on in their lives right after Hugo, could have rebuilt this without all this aggravation. So this is one where I feel like we, especially when we know we aren't actually setting a precedent. There was a reference to the fact that people are going to come back and start saying, but you did this for this person, whatever. Well, if they can show me a spot that small and say, we need that, and you gave that over there, and if it's not something that's going to cause huge problems in that area, maybe we will make an exception again. I think there's times where we have to remember that we're here to keep things fair and reasonable, but reasonable is part of that too. And this is one where I just don't see any reason why we would hold up this doc from Mrs. Fair.
Mr. Chapman?
And Ms. Landing, I would defy anybody on this committee to go drive a car where they want to put this dock. I would defy you to do that. So having said that, I'm done. I'm ready to vote. And I call for the question.
Does anyone else want to speak?
Mayor?
Yes.
I am not comfortable with giving away town anything, but I think I'm going to have to agree with Ms. Landing on this one. So I think it is just, if we're not setting a precedent, then it's just common sense.
All right. So we have a motion. We have a motion to council to move to, the motion is to recommend to council approval of the use of town land for the purpose of the encroachment permit application to the Department of Transportation. So a yes vote is a yes to approve or to recommend to council, at which there will be another vote to either approve or deny. So all in favor of the motion to approve, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. So the motion passes 3-1. All right, so that will go to council next Tuesday. Is there anything pressing in the traffic calming program recommendations?
Nothing that
this
we could.
Fiscal year 2020, that's this year's, not next year's.
It is, but if you're asking in the context, can we put this off for another month, I'd say yes, sir.
Okay.
We have enough time to be able
okay
to do
with
that.
The committee? Because well, we're behind.
If we can do it in about 2 minutes, I'd just soon get rid of it. How long is it going to take?
From my perspective, I think that you could easily approve it very quickly.
Let's go.
We can do it quickly.
Okay. Right. I won't even ask Gary to come up. What you see on the left are the applications, the street subdivision line. We had four applications, four of which made it. And if we install the speed humps at those locations, as well as purchasing some radar feedback signs for the old village that we talked about in December, this committee approved, then we would spend roughly what we have in the budget right now of $95,000.
Approval, Mayor.
Second.
We have a motion to approve. We have a second. Is there any discussion?
The only question I'd ask is, do these all meet our requirements? I know we've got requirements.
All of them meet. We're waiting on one application to submit their petition. If they don't, then they would have to come back next year.
Fine.
All right. All in favor of the motion to approve, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you, sir.
All right. I'm glad we got that done quickly.
And we can...
They can wait.
Yes, sir. We can send that there in an email.
All right. We can do that by email. Item number 8 is adjourned. Anything further before this committee? We stand adjourned.
Thank you, sir. Good job, Paul.
We didn't do the update.